Mall.
Support for KGNU comes from the Boulder Marriott, offering room accommodations and Colorado dining in Canyons Restaurant. Details at bouldermarriotthotel.com.
Hello, everyone. My name's Dave Gloss. And if you're like me, there's nothing like the sound of a swinging big band. So if you like listening to folks like Tommy Dorsey, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and Ella Fitzgerald, join me, won't you? For KGNU Swing Shift, every Thursday evening at 9, here on KGNU. Music as you hear it nowhere else.
Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening. And tonight, we're going to be looking at rags that have ladies' names in the titles. In many instances, they were written in honor of certain women. Sometimes not. But we'll touch on that as we go along. I'm calling this section Ode to the Ladies, and this will be part one because I think I have enough material to do part two a little later on. So we'll start right out with a piece by Thomas E. Brodie, written in 1898. And Brodie is kind of a mystery man. Nobody seems to know much about him, but he wrote three pieces that were popular in the day. And this one is called Mandy's Broadway Stroll. And here to bring it to us on the piano is Alan Martin.
Thank you.
has brought us Mandy's Broadway Stroll from 1898, an early piece that touches a little ragtime and a little cakewalk and has a nice bounce to it. Next up, none other than the master himself, Scott Joplin, in 1905. He wrote a piece called Leola. Don't know who Leola was, but it's a very pretty piece. It's actually a variation on the Maple Leaf Rag, and so if you listen carefully to its structure, maybe you'll pick up on that. We have an interesting arrangement this evening. Bill Knopf will play the five-string banjo, backed up by Kathy Craig on piano. Bill Knopf, K-N-O-P-F, Bill Knopf on five-string banjo, Kathy Craig on piano. That was Scott Joplin's Leola. Well, moving from one king of ragtime to another great ragtimer, James Scott. In 1909, he wrote a piece called The Ragtime Betty. Once again, I don't know if he was naming that after a particular woman or not, but it's a great piece, and to bring it to us are Anne Barnhart on flute and Jeff Barnhart on piano. Jeff Barnhart there. This is off of an early CD before they had adopted the name Ivory and Gold. So that was the Ragtime Betty.
KGNU will host our annual plant sale on Sunday, June 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 4700 Walnut Street in Boulder. This will be our opportunity to shop for fantastic starters and gardening supplies. As part of KGNU's 40th year celebration, we're having a garden-inspired arts and crafts fair with our annual plant sale. Artists and crafters with garden-themed items interested in participating in the sale can contact Kathleen at 303-499-5314 for details or visit kgnu.org.
Moving on, we come to another very familiar name in ragtime, Joseph Lamb. In 1916, he wrote the Patricia Rag. People think that he named it was named for his daughter, Patricia, but she was not born until several years after that, so he must have just liked the name. Anyway, here's the late, great John Arpin from Toronto. Whoops, I skipped one. Pardon me. Hang on. Okay, let's start this over again. We'll get to Patricia in a minute, but what I have queued up is actually Mr. Ubi Blake, a tune he wrote in 1910 called Poor Katy Red, someone that he ran into during his performing back in Baltimore and New Jersey and some of that area. This will be performed tonight by the Amherst Saxophone Quartet. Katy Red, the Amherst Saxophone Quartet. And now let's get John Arpin up to play Joseph Lamb's Patricia Rag. Oh, beautiful rag with a great ride-out ending there. Patricia Rag, that was John Arpin. Well, this next one goes by two different names. Written by Jelly Roll Morton in 1931. It's called Francis. But sometimes it's called Fat Francis, which is too bad. But anyway, here comes Ray Shellbred to play it. Ray Shellbred, one of the masters of Jelly Roll Morton style, and that was Frances from 1931. She must have been quite a gal. Well, we'll turn now to another familiar name. Other than our first composer tonight, Thomas Brody, all of our names have been familiar, and here is another one, Max Marath. In 1964, Max wrote this beautiful piece, which he calls One for Amelia. And Amelia turns out to be Joseph Lamb's wife. And Max got a chance to meet Joe Lamb and Amelia and spend some time with them and was quite touched by the woman and decided to immortalize her in this composition. Here is Mr. Aaron Robinson.
Thank you.
One for Amelia, Amelia Lamb. That was Aaron Robinson on piano. Moving on now to another familiar name to a lot of our listeners, David Thomas Roberts. He has written a lot of pieces with women in mind, and here is one written for a local Denver pianist. He wrote this in 1981. It's called For Molly Kaufman.
Thank you.
For Molly Kaufman, David Thomas Roberts wrote that and played it. A lot of emotion in that piece. And now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I guess, we go to Dave Jason, a New York composer. He has written several books on ragtime, has recorded a lot of pieces, but most of them sound like they stepped right out of the 1950s, the ragtime revival of that period. Here's a piece he wrote for his wife, 1962. It's called Susan's Rag, and I'm sure Dave will take it at a brisk tempo. Susan's Rag, written and played by Dave Jason. Well, let's go back to James Scott. And in 1910, he wrote a piece called The Ophelia Rag. And for those of you who remember your Shakespeare, Ophelia was a character in Hamlet. She was possibly to be his potential wife. So let us listen now to the Ophelia Ragtime Orchestra from Oslo, Norway, conducted by Morten Larsen, as they play the Ophelia Rag. Thank you. Sprightly version of Ophelia Rag by the orchestra that took the name from that piece, the Ophelia Ragtime Orchestra. All right, moving on to Tom Shea, one of our contemporary composers who unfortunately died much too young. He was 52 when he died of a heart attack back in 1980 or 81, sometime like that. But he wrote this piece for his wife, whom he referred to as BW, the beautiful wife. Her name was Margaret, but he always called her Mag. So here is Mag's Rag by Tom Shea, and here is Virginia Tichenor. That was Virginia Tichenor on piano playing Mag's Rag from 1980. And as we start to close out our Ode to the Ladies tonight, I'm proud to say that I have one to contribute. I wrote this in 1982 for my wife, and she's still my wife. Didn't mean to have it sound like... It was way long ago, but it's called Mim's Rag, and Mim was the nickname that our daughter used to refer to her mother. So Mim's Rag, and I was very honored when I was in Australia in 1987, I visited Dave Dolowitz, the premier ragtimer of Australia, and lo and behold, he surprised me with an orchestral arrangement of Mim's Rag, which he subsequently went on to record. So here then is the Dave Dolowitz Ragtime Ensemble playing Mim's Rag.
Thank you.
Mim's Rag by yours truly. Nice arrangement by Dave Dolowitz there. He set it to a Latin rhythm, which I didn't think I'd like at first, but it grows on me. I like it. All right, well, we got to get out of here, so I've got one more to do. This one from 1900 by J. Bodewald Lampa. He wrote Creole Bells, a very popular tune, which is still popular today. And we're just going to dedicate that to all of the Southern ladies that he may have had in mind, Creole Bells. It'll be the Ragtime Skedaddlers that take us out. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us this evening as we have celebrated our Ode to the Ladies tonight. The time is 9 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks as always, Jack, for a wonderful show. And welcome to Swing Shift, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss. As those of you who are regular listeners know, we've been touring around the country, giving you ideas for your summer vacation, and we continue to go through the South, so be sure to stay tuned for some wonderful sounds as we head up the Eastern Seaboard. We're going to start out the evening cheating just a little bit. Here is the big number from Walt Disney's Song of the South from 1946. And it actually was the Academy Award winner for Best Song for 1947. Here's Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great day to see you in, great world to be in, sun shining brightly, breeze blowing lightly.
Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine head my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay.
Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder.
It's the truth, it's action. Everything is satisfactory. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Fine, huh?